Hello and welcome to Bootstrapped, the podcast for software bootstrappers. If you are running a software company or looking to start one, then this is the podcast for you. I'm your host, Steve McLeod. Do you send your customers a regular email newsletter? If not, you probably should. An email newsletter is a great way to stay in touch with customers. It will help improve customer loyalty and decrease churn. But which email newsletter service is best for you? Email Tooltester can help you decide. Their price calculator will help you to find the cheapest newsletter tool for your needs. You simply enter the number of emails you intend to send each month, and it will compare prices for more than 15 services, including MailChimp, Constant Contact, and ConvertKit. You can check it out at emailtooltester.com/calculator. That's emailtooltester.com/calculator. Joining me today is frequent co-host Ed Freifogel. Hey Ed, do I say your surname correctly?
It is Freifogel. Yes, like it's my name is quite difficult in that no English speaker can correctly say it and no German speaker can correctly spell it. So
Did you grow up in Germany or America or both?
I did grow up in both, but because my mother is German and my surname is from my father's family, obviously. So my ancestors on that side of the family were German or German speaking from Switzerland, and they went to the US and then the name was Americanized. You know, this was like 200 years ago or whatever. It was completely Americanized. And so I have a German name that's spelled in an American way.
Okay. And you're just used to people getting it wrong everywhere. So as long as I'm pretty close with the pronunciation, what about the first name? Am I saying that correct? Is it Ed or is it Ed?
Are you kidding me again?
Yeah, I'm kidding. I'm in Australia at the moment. This passes for humor in Australia, I guess.
Okay. Well, you do have a bit of a weird accent, I have to say. So I'm reminded, Steve, when we moved here to Barcelona, we put the kids in a school, right? And they were like, "Oh, we have a, the kids also do English, and we have a native speaker." And I'm like, "Oh, great! So is it?" Is it American or a Canadian, like a North American, or is it a British person? And they're like, well, Jamaican. So my kid's English instructor was Jamaican.
That's wonderful. Really nice musical sort of lilt to the way they talk. Okay. To any Jamaican listeners, I'm sure your accents are wonderful, better than passes for a half New Zealand, half Australian accent. I think we should move on before we get ourselves into trouble. So what's been happening, Ed?
A couple things. First of all, as we talked about last time, one of the big projects for this year is rolling out a GeoMob podcast. So I've been working a lot on that, been recording the first couple episodes, doing some interviews and things like that. And I wanted to briefly give a special mention to your former guest co-host, which is Craig from Castos. He and his team at Castos, they've been creating a podcast called Audience, which is a podcast about starting a podcast. And this has been fantastic. I've been basically following the recipe that they lay out there. So if any of you listeners out there are thinking of starting a podcast, I highly recommend you check out the Audience podcast from Castos.
I agree. I've been listening to it too, and it's been really informative and helpful. The way they gradually build on each episode and it's kind of meta, right? They talk about how they're building up that podcast itself with techniques we can use.
Yeah, it's really well done, really well produced, and I've learned a lot. Then I had one heartbreaking experience this week that I think all the bootstrappers out there can relate with is, we do our payments via Stripe and we have that configured so that we get a notification in Slack whenever there's a charge goes through or a new customer signs up. And oh my God, we had a fairly big company that we've been kind of emailing with the last couple months as they've been testing the service. And I saw all of a sudden the notification comes in that, you know, they're trying to become a customer. And they're trying to create a subscription, and then you can see, oh, it's fantastic. It's not just a monthly subscription, but an annual subscription. And then at the last step, the charge keeps failing.
Oh,
and it just keeps failing. And I can see the guy. I can see the guy trying. He tries a couple times. And it just keeps failing. And of course, with Stripe gives you just some super vague error message of like, customer should contact their bank.
Yeah.
You know?
And which,
and I'm like, so then I email the guy.
Yep.
Right. So I email the guy, of course, right away. And I'm like, look, I see you're trying, you know, let me know how I can help. Let's. And he doesn't answer. And,
seriously?
And this wasn't the guy. I mean, I guess this was like the boss, because it wasn't the guy we had been dealing with before. So then I connect with him on LinkedIn and he accepts my connection, but he doesn't answer. And I'm like, look, do you have another card? Can we try again? You know, maybe we can do something. Oh, no answer. And it's now it's been a couple of days. And not only it would have been nice to have a new annual customer, but it was actually a fairly well-known brand that, and so, you know.
Yeah, that's really frustrating.
It's heartbreaking.
It's okay if it's somebody at your basic minimum usage plan with a monthly subscription and it fails, but even then it's frustrating when somebody's actually wanting to give you money and you can't do something about it and they're not responding, but when it's a big amount, it's all part of the business we're in.
So that was a heartbreaker. And then the final thing is actually next week I'm off to London there's a big conference about mobility, which is a lot of it. That's a good customer segment for us. So going to go to that conference and see if we can come back.
Is that more mobility as in people with mobility problems or
it means no, it's mobility in the sense of moving around. So, you know, car sharing, bike sharing, all these kinds of things, all the new kind of modes of transport and things like that, which is a big category for us because as things move around, people have GPS devices where they record the location of the thing, be it a car or a bike or whatever, and then they need to geocode that. So,
are you going there to present, to network, or to learn?
No, just to network, try to get customers. I mean, it's a huge conference. There will be thousands of attendees with lots of people with stands and stuff like that. So I'll just kind of be working my way through the convention and seeing who we can.
Good luck. I hope who
we can get
well
as customers. Let's see. What about you, man? What are you working on Feature Upvote, or you're handing over your poker business, or what are you doing?
Well, it's been a pretty tough week getting anything done. We were in New Zealand, my family, for a month, and that finished just over a week ago. So we then came over to Australia. People who aren't from this part of the world think that's not much, but it's actually 4 hours apart, and you have to go through immigration and whatever. So it's actually a big ordeal as far as travel goes, and it didn't go well. Let me tell you about this if I can without boring you too much. So from our town in New Zealand, it was a 2-hour drive to the airport and then 4 hours flying and then a big drama at the airport. A flight arrived from China at the same time as our flight from New Zealand, and every single person getting off that flight from China was wearing a face mask.
Great.
There were special things going on at immigration. The immigration officers had face masks. So it took us like an hour and a half to get through this stuff at the airport with our very, very tired, hungry 7-month-old.
Yeah, you're there with your infant, of course.
Yeah.
That's.
And 2 days later, Australia announced that no direct flights could come from China anymore. It's all this coronavirus stuff.
Sure.
So we eventually get to our Airbnb that we had rented in advance for the entire 6 weeks we're planning to be in Australia, and it turned out to not be very good. Dirty. Mm. Things broken, completely unacceptable for an infant to be there for so long. So we had to, at emergency, the next day, find alternative accommodation to last the whole time here. Turned out to be a 44-degree day. That's Celsius. For those who speak in Fahrenheit or think in Fahrenheit, I think that's like 100 and, I don't know, 100 and something. It's a lot.
That's
it was
brutal.
Really hot. And in that weather, we had to like find another accommodation and move there. So that was not a great start, and that is the reason why there's no podcast episode for the previous week. An interview I had planned a couple of days before that endeavor fell through at the last moment, and I was going to do a backup replacement interview, but that was just not possible with the whole experience. So what I'm trying to say in a lot of words is sometimes traveling and working at the same time is a difficult combination.
Well, especially with an infant. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes everything harder. So it took us a few days to get now things sorted out after all of that. I am working hard on handing over the poker business that I recently sold. If you're not a regular listener, to anyone listening, a couple of episodes ago, I talked about how I recently sold one of my apps, a desktop app in the poker business, and I'm currently doing the handover. So the person who's acquired it has found, I think, a really good developer, and I'm helping that developer get up to speed. And this is pretty challenging for me, not because of any sort of technical reasons, but I'm actually having to show my code that I've been working on for 11 years. And it's kind of like being naked, you know, trying to explain why I've done things a particular way. Sometimes there is no good explanation. It's just the craft that builds up after 11 years.
Are you the only developer who has ever worked on this product until now?
Yes. Yes, ouch. I am. Yeah, I think developers listening might imagine what that might be like. Take something you've been working on for years and then finally let somebody else see it. But it's actually going pretty well. Yeah,
all right.
The developer has been very, very polite and seems to be getting it pretty quickly, which is really nice.
Well, congrats.
Thanks. And the third and last thing that's been going on lately is kind of a sneak announcement. I've been trying to acquire a small SaaS. It goes completely against my philosophy of do less, not do more. But nevertheless, I am doing this. It's a really good companion product for Feature Upvote. And we're pretty close to having it all signed, but it's not signed yet. So I can't say anything more at this stage. When I can, I'll be announcing it on the podcast.
You're doing this because it actually makes sense for your business, or just so we have more to discuss on the podcast?
Yeah, for some reasons. I think the sensible thing for me to do would be to focus completely on Feature Upvote. But, you know, sometimes you do things not because of the sensible thing to do, but because you like the idea of doing it.
Sure, man. You gotta do the projects you're enthusiastic about. I mean,
yeah.
Gotta find the balance.
So. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's what's been going on the last week.
All right. Well, I hope you're finally settled in there in Australia. But yeah, let's move on to this week's topic. So we were having some discussion about what we should talk about, and I saw something this week that kind of sparked a conversation. There's a new service. I think they're based in London. It's called Cladara, which is sort of a, and I guess we'll put the link in the show notes, but it's sort of a rewards card for startups. So the idea is that in your business, they give you some tools to manage how you're spending on different SaaS products, and how you can manage spending, or your team, you know, can manage the spending. And then if you're spending with the products that they are in their kind of directory, you get points back that you can convert into cash. So this got me thinking about, what services do we actually spend money on within our business, and how do we track that spend? And of course, then sometimes I also see that raises another point of sometimes people say, well, when you're small and growing, of course you should have a general idea of your spending, but you shouldn't waste any time getting it accurate to, you know, five places past the decimal. Instead, you should just focus on getting more customers and growing. So I don't know. I thought that'd be a good topic for us to discuss. How do you guys handle that in your business, Steve? And are you laser focused on your spending? Are you kind of easygoing in that regard and you just focus on growing sales? And how do you track all this? And what services are you spending on? Thought it'd be something we could hash out.
Yeah, it's a really good topic. Do you know much more about this rewards card, Cladara? It's hard to pronounce.
It just launched, and so I think the rewards card is only part of it. They also give you some tools so that, let's say, someone like in your position where you have a team, you might want to, you can kind of create virtual cards. So you create a credit card number and you can, like, you know, give it to your team member, but it has various limits, or they can only spend it on certain types of services and things like that. So it gives you some tools to kind of manage how you're spending and how your team is spending. But one of the appeals is, of course, that, you know, for every euro you spend on AWS, you get, you know, 1 cent back or something. I haven't looked at it that closely yet.
Yeah, So it's quite interesting. I had a quick look at the website today, and I couldn't quite work out what the rewards were exactly, but it also felt like something that was very newly launched. So they'll probably flesh out that type of info later. So the question you had, like, how do we go about tracking what we spend? I probably don't track this enough, but there is a line between controlling your expenses very well or saying, look, the $6 I might save by optimizing that, or $20 here by optimizing this, this time I should be spent in, better spent in marketing, because, you know, if you just get that one extra client per month, it way dwarfs anything you save by micromanaging things. Then on the other hand, you can use that argument too many times, and before you know it, you've got too much money going out, just leaking out of your business.
It is easy to forget about the subscription. And I mean, to be honest, I also see it with some of my customers. I see customers who pay me every month, not immense amounts of money, but they're not really using the service at what they call zombie customers. So, and I'm always a very mixed opinion, you know, but I also have customers who haven't, you know, I have at times emailed some of these customers. They're like, no, we're fine with that. You know, we might start up again or whatever. So, you know, it's always hard to know.
Yeah, and you put yourself in their shoes and you think, well, if it was me, I'd be canceling the service I'm not using and starting up again when I do. So this card is interesting. I'd like to learn more about it. Our biggest expense by far is freelancers, and I suspect this card is more about only paying for services rather than freelancers.
Yeah, exactly. You wouldn't pay a freelancer on a card. You would probably just transfer money to them, I would guess.
So this card, the name Clidara, I also noticed that it's currently focused on the UK and the Eurozone. And you and I both run businesses in the Eurozone, and you don't get rewards cards here, basically. So it's really interesting that they're trying to do this.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what their model is. I mean, you know, we can dissect their thing. My question was more just like, you know, how do you manage?
Yeah.
How do you decide what to spend on? How do you, in your case, you have a team. So, you know, what's the process? A team member comes to you and says, hey, I think we should pay for this tool, or you give them the card, or you have to make that decision, or how do you handle that?
I make the decision and I do it. I try to be pretty free spending, but I do want a good argument for each thing. And I do try to find a cheaper plan. I'll often write to a SaaS product company and say, we want to use it, but this is too expensive for us because we're a cash-strapped startup. Do you have a special price? And surprisingly, often the answer, probably in the majority of time, the answer is yes, we do have this special price. It's exactly the same as the standard price. You don't have any limitations in what you can do with it. We just charge you less money. So there's some things like that I do. And I kind of learned that trick because people do it to me. They write to me with the same argument.
How do you track the spending? You have one spreadsheet, or what's your process?
No, we don't have a spreadsheet. They do go into our bookkeeping software, but the invoices all come into my inbox. And I do think every time an invoice passes through my inbox, I do ask myself, is this something we should still be using? And the answer is usually yes. If we've been using something for a while on a monthly plan, I also ask myself, does it look like we're going to keep using this in the long term? If so, let's change to a yearly plan. That's partly to save money, but it's partly also just to have less paperwork coming through the system.
Sure.
I think we use a lot of SaaS products, and there is a danger that, like, even now, I couldn't tell you off the top of my head how much we spend in total, and I probably should be controlling that a bit better.
Agree. You probably should.
Yeah. But I guess at this point in time, too, we're growing it pretty well month over month, and so it's easy to kind of forget that stuff. Probably what we increase in our MRR by each month is more than we spend in total on SaaS products. Like, that increase each month is more. So I could be thinking, like, yeah, in a month's time, it's all taken care of.
Well, that's a good position to be in, of course. So
Yeah, but then one day when growth levels off, maybe that's the time when I should turn back and look into each thing we're using and decide whether we could really get rid of it. And
Well, I can tell you our approach, actually.
Tell me.
So fundamentally, I do agree that, you know, you shouldn't waste a lot of time, you know, tracking everything. But it does make sense every few. What I do is, you know, like many kind of important tasks, but non-urgent tasks, we every couple months I set aside a day, and we have one spreadsheet where I list kind of all of our expenses, and then I go through and make sure has anything changed. I mean, the vast majority of stuff that we spend on is on subscriptions. We have a few that are kind of more usage-based or discretionary, where it's like, okay, how much do we want to spend on marketing this month or whatever. But anyway, I update the spreadsheet, let's say once a quarter, and, you know, make sure everything's still kind of at the levels it was We moved a lot of stuff to annual plans as much as possible. Once we use something for 3-4 months, then I switch it to an annual plan because, you know, for the savings, but also, as you say, less paperwork. That's a real issue because we are a German company. And so we have an accountant and I have to put everything for that guy. And it's, you know, it's just kind of I hate wasting time on this kind of administrative trivia.
Yeah. So yeah. It might not take much time, but it wears you down. You know, stuff.
It does wear you down. We do almost all our spending. We have a debit card on our tied to our bank account, of course, and almost all the spending goes on that card.
Okay.
Not all. We have, I mean, some bigger things we pay, like we've given, like for our biggest bill is our hosting. We have lots of servers. And so the hosting company, they have just direct debit into our account. And that bill I do check every month just to make sure nothing unexpected is happening there. But the vast majority of them, we're on an annual plan. And so it's very predictable. And the spending really doesn't vary that much. Month to month.
Ed, what about this? You're in the Eurozone, so I guess your bank account is in euros, but yep. A lot of SaaS products only bill in US dollars. Do you just pay that from your European euro-denominated account and just eat the foreign exchange fee and whatever other fees there are?
Yeah, so actually, I'm trying to think. Some will bill us in euro. Sometimes I'll email them and say, will you bill us in euro? And some have said yes. The amounts are so small that it's not worth, you know, I don't really care about 1 euro or whatever. One thing I have thought about doing, you know, we just switched our company last year. So that from the UK to Germany, so it involved getting a new bank account and getting everything new set up. And we do use TransferWise for paying some freelancers in other currencies and things. And I have thought about actually opening the TransferWise business account, which you can then keep balances in different currencies and moving some of the things there. The issue there is the TransferWise business account is not really, it's not really fully usable yet right now because it's only one person can have access to the account. Mm-hmm. And I need to be able to give my accountant access to the account. Okay. You know, he needs to be able to do read-only access. Yeah. And so
That's actually changed.
I'm
recently.
Still waiting for them to. It's still in beta.
We use TransferWise too, and just recently I noticed that they announced you can now have additional users. But yeah, it's in beta, and they don't seem to have any power to do anything.
Yeah, I haven't. Maybe you might be in some test cohort because I haven't gotten that notification, and I really do need to have my accountant because my accountant, you know, he's just an external accountancy firm. Like, he doesn't have time to learn all the ins and outs of our business. He just needs to be able to grab the data and prepare the accounts. So that is, I guess that is one future optimization I could do is try to set up a dollar account and have money go in there and then move all the billing to that dollar account. But
so it comes back to that point of things wearing you down. It just complicates things a little bit. It might save you like 3% per transaction in foreign exchange fees, but on the other hand, it just makes things messier for tracking your business, what's going on.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, my strategy is, I have the spreadsheet that I update every 3 months, and I know very roughly what our spending level is, and I think that's enough. And then when I see obvious ways to optimize things, like switching to annual billing or something for a service I know we're going to use, then I do it. But I haven't yet done I haven't tried to squeeze out the final 1% or whatever. Hasn't been a good use of my time.
And maybe that's something to do if your revenue does level off in the future. It's the wrong time to worry about that when your business is growing.
Yeah,
I think. So I wonder about how this rewards card's going to go. It seems to me a very difficult type of market that the smaller companies or the ones who are true startups who are very cash strapped, they probably don't spend enough money to justify using something like Cloudera, and the bigger companies probably manage it pretty well in-house. So I'm wondering whereabouts they're going to find themselves in the market for this to work.
Well, I'm not so sure bigger companies manage it well in-house. And I don't know. I think part of the – I don't want to put words in their mouth, so I don't know what their strategy is. But I think part of the appeal is companies more and more are using SaaS services, right?
Right.
But the bottleneck is if you have – you know, imagine you have a company with 50 people. I mean, this is the bottleneck we run into with our customers or potential customers, you know, that the engineer tries our service. He likes our service. He wants to become a customer, but he can't purchase it. He needs to now go talk to his manager. And then, so if instead, you know, so that costs everyone time and effort and friction. So if instead that engineer, you know, imagine you could give your employees a virtual card number, but it's capped at whatever, I don't know, purchases only under 100 euro a month or whatever it is. You can, I'm sure you can set all kinds of rules. And then you could, and that way you reduce the friction, right? And the employee, when he needs something, he can just do it. And you as the manager have get a full, you know, itemized report at the end of the month, or, and you have the confidence of like, okay, we're getting the best possible deal because Cloudera gives us the points back, or, you know, they try to negotiate a bulk price with people like AWS or whatever, I guess.
Yeah, that's starting to make sense. And I can see that as a operator of a SaaS business, how hard it is for some companies to pay. You know, they have to find the one person in their department who has the right to use a credit card. And I can that starts to make sense. Especially as more and more it's becoming very normal for companies to buy these, use these services like ours that require a credit card.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that definitely we're seeing it. But so I think there will be increasing need for tools to make that simpler for the employees, make it simpler for the accounting team, make it also simpler for the vendor.
Oh, the growth of SaaS is really creating whole new markets that didn't exist, not just the SaaS companies directly, but products for the SaaS companies, SaaS products for SaaS companies. I wonder where it ends.
Well, don't know, Steve. I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting development, and I thought it is something I think every company founder should be thinking of, you know, you should know what your spending is.
Yeah.
The question is, it's like every other aspect of your business. Do you hyper optimize it, or is good enough, right? And what are the tools you should use? I mean, for us, just, you know, a Google spreadsheet that we update every 3 months. Now that we've set the baseline, is good enough. So
for those listening who are wondering how on earth you spell this thing we keep on referring to called Cloudera, I'm going to spell it out for you. It's CLED for Denmark, ARA, Cloudera. You might think they're a sponsor by the amount of times we're talking about them, but actually I'd never heard of this product until Ed raised it with me earlier this week. Not a sponsor, but we'll check them out and we'll link to them in the show notes so you can see more about it. Yeah. I guess we're getting towards the end of our time today. Ed, anything more you want to say on this topic before we wrap up?
You know, we didn't actually talk about most of the services that we actually spend the money on. Maybe that's a topic for a future episode. I used to do, you know, on the theory of turn your problem into your solution. You know, on the one hand, it's never great when we have to spend money on things. So I used to, on our blog, I had a series I called Tools We Use, where I would talk about the services that we spend money on. And it actually worked quite well in two regards. One is I would kind of give a review of the service. But then at the end of my review, I always put things they could improve or things that I disliked about the service. And very often then people from that company would reach out to me and say, oh, you know, thanks for making that suggestion. We'll work on that and we'll fix it. So it actually worked in that regard. But second of all, it worked in terms of, you know, I would tweet that, oh, we did a review of Service X. And then usually that company would then retweet that, and it would kind of have a, you know, very slight marketing benefit in terms of promoting to their audience, promoting our service to their audience, or at least making their audience aware that we exist in some way, shape, or form. So anyway, maybe for a future episode, we can go through the actual services and talk about why we chose that vendor versus another, or things like that.
That's a really good idea. Actually, I would like to explain in detail why we choose each of the services we use and some other unexpected benefits we've found.
All right, man. I think that about wraps us up for this week. So,
okay. Listeners, as usual, if you'd like to discuss more about today's topics, please go to our forum at bootstrapped.fm and join the conversation. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
That concludes this episode of Bootstrapped. You can discuss this episode and other bootstrapping topics on our forums at discuss.bootstrapped.fm. Until next episode, goodbye.